on 105.5 The Beat.
Hey, what's up? Welcome back. We are The Freak Show. Live on iHeartRadio. All over the world. It's crazy. What's going on? We're all here on a Friday. My name is Brian. Brittany Gonzalez is here.
Good morning.
We've got DJ Ramo G hanging out.
What up, man?
And Rob the Phone Freak as well. Our number is 866 The Beat. Everything social. We're at Freak Show 105.5. Follow us, add us, like us, validate us through your social media existence. On the phone with us right now. This is exciting. Today, this movie actually comes out in theaters today. Solo, A Star Wars Story. On the phone with us right now, he's a friend of mine from high school. This is great. John Bishop, right? Graduate of Boston and Northeastern Universities. He was a beat reporter for the Boston Bruins for a while. Yo. And he wrote, co-authored a couple books. He's got, you know, blogs. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Plus, on top of that, he is, right now, he's a teacher at a very, very prestigious high school outside of Boston, and he does that by day, and then the rest of the time, he's just, like, looking for the best Star Wars news from everywhere, and he's on MakingStarWars.net. Check out that website, MakingStarWars.net, and you can check that out, and you can check out all the pieces that he's written for it, including a review of Solo, a Star Wars movie, and on the phone with us right now, here he is, John Bishop. John, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, seen the movie twice. Everybody should go see it. It's an awful lot of fun.
That's awesome. I love the fact that the movie, it comes out in theaters today for the rest of us, you know, regular folk. But John, you know, because he's got all these Star Wars connections, he's already seen the film twice, which is great. I love that. What did you think of the movie, John? You know, like out of 5 stars, what would you give it?
I want to say that I gave it 85 out of 100, 80, you know, so somewhere in the neighborhood of 4.5 stars out of 5. It was really good. It was a lot of fun.
That's
for those. A lot of people came out of Last Jedi feeling. I mean, the ending of Last Jedi. If anyone, you know, spoiler alert. It was kind of a downer.
Right. Yeah. Spoiler alert for a movie that came out 2 years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And in a lot of ways, I felt kind of worried about how people were going to perceive that. I enjoyed it and I thought it was great, but this one is a total 180. This is if it was a theme park ride, it would be Space Mountain. It is incredible from start to end. It's a lot of fun.
It's just a fun movie, which, you know what, that's good, because I feel like, you know, like you said, we needed something fun after the kind of downer that The Last Jedi kind of took, you know, especially there at the end.
It's true.
And, you know, it left a lot of people kind of scratching their heads and kind of wondering. And, you know, and I actually was kind of wondering about this, not so much about, you know, the characters and stuff. These are characters that we all know, characters that we all love for the most part. I'm sure they introduced new characters that we've never seen before. Is that right, John?
Oh, yeah. There's a whole... Well, the nice thing about it is it's grounded in some familiar stuff. If you've seen the original trilogy, this is not going to be... hard for you to grasp what's going on. It's set before A New Hope, before the Cantina, actually before Rogue One. So it is sort of lives on its own in this own little you know, crime syndicate world, caper story. You know, not you know, Ocean's 11. It's not that quote unquote classy.
Yeah.
But it's much more along the lines of, you know, a World War II heist movie.
I like that. I like that that's the direction that they went in. It's more of like, almost kind of like an origin story.
Yeah.
Really more so than it's different. It exists in the Star Wars universe, but it doesn't take on all those same things with that same kind of threat of, you know, everything else that the other Star Wars movies carry, right?
Yeah, and it doesn't have the weight of the, you know, the saga, the 9 film, you know, the upcoming 9th film next year in December.
Right.
You know, it doesn't have to do any heavy lifting. So you're sitting there, you're munching your popcorn. My 8-year-old absolutely adored it. Wants to go back this weekend.
Awesome.
A lot of the people that I interact with online, they're feeling great about it. There is a cadre of you know, heavy duty Star Wars fans who are looking for quote unquote more and things like that.
Yeah.
I think people have to, you can't forget.
Right.
This stuff is grounded in the 1940s and 50s movie serial B movies.
Right.
You know, it's not supposed to be profound.
Right.
And as soon as you get beyond that and enjoy munching your popcorn, you're going to be great.
You know, and as much as I love that, you know, that typical, stereotypical, I guess you could say, Star Wars fan, there is something about that type of person. They always want more out of the Star Wars product that comes out. You know, anything that's not, you know, the original 3 that came out, You know what I mean?
Sure.
It leaves them wanting more, or they've got this harsh criticism for this. And this is what I say to that. I mean, you've had 40 plus years, really, of examining these films and thinking about it and thinking about what you would do if you were to make it now, or if you were to do some sort of a prequel or a sequel or a whatever. And, you know, that's why, because there's everybody all of a sudden becomes this great Star Wars philosopher, right? And, you know, they can't enjoy the films like a regular person. Do you see a lot of that?
Yeah, I feel like it's called headcanon, and I think everybody's headcanon tends to get in the way of just pure enjoyment of the film. You know, I actually like the prequels. I have no problems
with them. Yeah,
like the second one is not necessarily the most well, played out of
right.
them, but the themes in it were fine. I don't mind Phantom Menace. I don't mind Revenge of the Sith. This happens after Revenge of the Sith. So there's an awful lot of interconnectivity with this.
Right.
I don't think that you can criticize the guy and his son. The guy, John Kasdan, is the son. Larry Kasdan is the guy who invented Han Solo, who invented Indiana Jones.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, if they wrote this and then somebody who, you know, Lucasfilm trusts like Ron Howard is directing it.
Right.
These people have an awful lot of experience in telling stories. It's not an easy thing to do.
Sure.
I think you got to sit back, let it wash over. If you don't like it, give the reasons. And then if someone else likes it, great. You know, there's room on the nerd train for everybody.
Right. Exactly. I like that. The thing about Solo, a Star Wars movie, which again is in theaters today, John Bishop is on the phone with us. He is with makingstarwars.net. You can check that out. It's a great website. A lot of great articles that he's written on there and stuff. Which is a lot of fun, too, and immersed in this for quite a long time. I mean, obviously, you know, to be basically an expert at something,
yeah.
You know, you've really immersed yourself into this. Now, one of the things that a lot of people were worried about with this movie was the fact that it had, like, a really troubled production history. You know, there was a lot of, you know, rewriting. Originally, I'd heard that the film was supposed to be a lot grittier, you know, than it turned out to be. There was, like, several rewrites, and then obviously there was the change of directors halfway through the production. But that didn't affect the film at all, did it?
I don't think so. If there's anything, what I had read and what I've, you know, discerned from people who I've talked to and listened to, there was a discrepancy between whether or not Han Solo, a Star Wars story, was supposed to be more comedic,
right,
or more of a thriller.
Yeah.
And John and Larry Kasdan had written a script that they were quite pleased with, and you know, Larry Kasdan is the guy, again, who invented Han Solo.
Right.
So he had a certain amount to say about it. And what Lucasfilm didn't understand and wanted to move forward on was, the production was taking quite a bit of time, from what I understand. B, it was really turning into a comedy. And they wanted to get it back to the true, you know, quipping and sort of sarcastic way that Han Solo is, as opposed
right.
to making him a straight comedic character. And I think they did a really good job. I, you know, I'm obviously biased. I do this every day. This is something I think about all the time. But you know, if I'm sitting there as a film fan and I see shades of American Graffiti right at the beginning, and I see shades of Casablanca, and I see shades of A New Hope, and I really am coming out enjoying it, and my 8-year-old is sitting there saying, "Dude, that was awesome."
Yeah, see that,
you know what?
That's the mark of
a
great movie.
Done a good job, right?
Yeah, that's how you know when you've got somebody that loves Star Wars, loves everything about it, and they love this movie, and then you've got a kid, and it's hard sometimes to keep a kid's attention in a movie theater.
Yeah, big time.
You know, I mean, it's got to be action, 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 or you know, whatever. If there's too much talking stuff going on, kids have a tendency to check out.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
They got like that movie ADD thing going on.
Unless SpongeBob's on the screen,
right? Yeah.
Well, and then try as a parent to go to those movies without ripping your hair out.
Right.
You know, there's exactly. a lot of fun stuff that gets put out. A lot of the Disney films and a lot of the you know, DreamWorks stuff is good, but there's a lot of junk. And this one was something that, you know, my 8-year-old, you know, I'm trying to convince my wife to go. I don't know if she'll go, but I think she would like it.
Right.
You know, I'm not paid to be a shill. I got no, you know, there's no I got no oars in the boat. You know,
yeah.
This one is something that I just really enjoy, and I think people can take a few hours out of what can be really hard if you listen to the radio, you listen to the news, and
right.
all the junk that goes on, and then now you can just enjoy a fantasy sci-fi film for a couple hours. That's
I like
great.
That. Yeah. And how did the now I forget the guy that played who's playing Han Solo in this movie? What's that guy's name?
Alden Ehrenreich.
Right. How did he do as Han Solo? Because that's a certain kind of character. We're used to, you know, Han Solo being Harrison Ford. We're used to a certain type of swagger, a certain type of attitude. There is a, you know, a certain type of a humor to that character, but that kind of comes with the swagger. I think that, you know, we find Han Solo so funny because he seems so cool in the face of just impending death. You know what I mean?
Right.
Whilst kind of freaking out at the same time.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford captured that very well. You know, I'm not going to say that people who walk in aren't going to be like, all right, you know, it's going to take a second for, but I will say that after 2 minutes, I didn't think about Harrison Ford at all.
Right.
And this guy was in a Coen Brothers movie before he was in this. This is a pro.
Yeah.
And he did a terrific job. I thought that his mannerisms and the way he spoke and the cadence of how he talked and acted matched what it needed to match. It wasn't a direct copying of how Harrison Ford did.
Right.
But I will say this, and I retweeted something about it yesterday. Somebody wrote that, you know, right after the movie, after he saw the movie, Harrison Ford called Ron Howard and told him how well he thought the kid did.
Oh, wow.
And that he had made the character, quote unquote, his own, and that he was really pleased with how that goes. First of all, you know, if you know Harrison Ford, he is not the hugest fan of Star Wars, and
right.
he was lobbying for years to get Han Solo killed so he didn't have to deal with it anymore.
Crazy, unbelievable,
and yeah, and so for him to actually care and to say to you know, Ron Howard that the kid did, you know, Alden Ehrenreich did a really good job is actually pretty over the top.
That's unbelievable. That's really cool. And of course, this also features, you know, some other characters that we know and love. This is the intro with Han Solo and Chewbacca, correct?
Oh, yeah. And Jonas Suetamo, who is Chewbacca.
Yeah.
I mean, it. You know, people always say, all right, it's just a suit. Well, no.
No.
You know, there's a man inside the suit who has to act.
Yeah.
And this guy is a true, true fan. He used to play basketball at Penn State, if you can believe that.
Yeah, I can,
and,
with the height, yeah.
Yeah, and he at one point, he was studying film through his scholarship at Penn State. And so he was setting up a film set at one point, and someone called him and said, hey, do you want to try out for this movie? And he thought it might be Star Wars, and the rest is history.
Wow.
But talk about a guy who really appreciates his place in the universe. You know, he and I have interacted a few times online. He interacts with the fans every day. He has an understanding. He's well-grounded.
That's awesome.
And boy, does it show in the performance. You know, that he did a nice job inside that suit. And
that's
cool. I think people are going to really be pleased with how he and Han's relationship plays out on the screen.
I like that. And then, of course, there's, you know, other characters that we know and love from the film. But, you know, one big one that everybody said killed it in the movie, Donald Glover, who plays Lando Calrissian in the movie. Everybody said that he was great.
Yeah, he, you know, everything you've heard about me, it's true. Yeah, yeah, it is. He is Han Solo. I mean, pardon me. He is Lando Calrissian.
Yeah.
He is Billy Dee Williams. You know, I guess Billy Dee called him, or they ran into each other. They talked, and Donald was trying to get notes, and Billy Dee just looked at him and said, just be charming. And he is
right.
All of that.
That's great.
Be cooler than the other side of the pillow.
Right, exactly.
Exactly.
You know, because, yeah, they said that he absolutely, I mean, of course, he's multi-talented, you know, he does music, he does, you know, production work on stuff,
yeah.
Obviously an actor, you know, Donald Glover, they said, was one of the highlights of this film, Solo, a Star Wars movie, which we're talking to John Bishop, who covers a lot of this stuff about Star Wars. You can check out makingstarwars.net, and there's all kinds of, you know, different articles on there. And, John, are you excited for, we were just talking about yesterday, Disney announced that in summer of 2019 at Disneyland in Anaheim, they're going to be opening up the Galaxy's Edge, which is a big Star Wars land, very interactive. And then Disney World Orlando is going to open up the same attraction come fall of that same year. Are you going to be covering stuff for that?
Oh, God, I hope so.
Right?
Yeah, I was there last year in both parks taking pictures of the, you know, the spots where they're setting up these lands.
Yeah.
You guys have no understanding of the scale of these things.
Really?
It is beyond what you could even imagine. You know, there's when you walk into, I'm a Disney geek. You know,
I love it. Oh, it's a fun place.
If you walk in and that awe that you feel when you see the castle or Main Street or you're in Pirates. I mean, imagine being in a Pirates of the Caribbean type ride and you're fighting stormtroopers. I mean,
that's incredible.
I just can't imagine flying the Millennium Falcon
or
walking into a life-size replica. I mean, it's just, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. I want to see it before I get too
excited,
but it's pretty amazing.
From what I understand, they're going to go like full immersion. Like when you go into there, you're kind of interacting with the different characters, and the rides are, it's more than just going on a ride and, oh, cool, we did that and we've done that. No, it's like kind of part of a mission, and you're kind of like a player in this whole game. I mean, it's incredible.
I think it'll be hard to do that kind of immersion with the crowds that they're expecting.
Especially on the level that it's going to be,
Yeah, but I do believe at some point you're going to be flying the Millennium Falcon or navigating the Millennium Falcon and getting points towards whatever it is that mission is, and it's going to be just pretty incredible.
Not to mention Star Wars
themed. You're in that moment.
Yeah,
you know?
Not to mention Star Wars themed hotels, I guess they're going to start doing, and that's another thing.
Fun.
That's incredible, man. That's really cool.
I've never seen Westworld, but that's what people are describing it as.
Right.
This amazing sort of not. You'll be able to stay in the moment of the character that you are inhabiting for your entire stay, which I guess is supposed to be between 2 and 3 days.
Can't wait. That's awesome, man. Well, very cool. And this is going to be a great movie. Solo, a Star Wars movie, is Star Wars Story, rather, is out in theaters today. Everybody should go check it out. John, who, obviously makes part of his living doing this, he gives this, glowing review, says it's a great movie, that it captures the spirit and everything that you love about Star Wars, everything you love about these characters. It's all in there. Action-packed. Everybody loves it. Everybody from adults to kids. And this is just a great popcorn movie that everybody can like, right?
Yeah. If you like Rogue One, it's a fun Rogue One. You're going to enjoy the heck out of this.
I like that.
And I hope everybody interacts with me at jmbishopjr. On Twitter and over there on makingstarwars.net.
There you go, makingstarwars.net. Check it out. And what's next for the Star Wars universe? They have more films that are planned, I hear, right?
Yeah, I mean, yesterday I tweeted about it. I was like, well, what happened? And everybody was laughing at me because while I was sitting in the theater, apparently the Boba Fett movie was confirmed.
So right.
I don't know anything about this. I got to go on my lunch hour today, figure out what the heck's going on.
Oh, yeah. And there's rumors about an Obi-Wan movie.
Wow.
Rumors about a Lando Calrissian, more involvement with Donald Glover and that type of story.
Nice.
So,
so that's the cool thing about this one. It leaves you ready for a sequel on the Han Solo side.
That's
great. So it would not shock me if either the Obi-Wan wouldn't shock me if any of those movies you mentioned connect with this movie in some way.
For sure. Well, I can't wait. I'm glad that Disney keeps pumping them out because I think that, the world needs a little bit more of this. And I think that, the original films that we had were great and we had those for many, many years. I think now it's time to move on with the story and for us to get visual representation of, people's great imagination with this stuff,
Definitely.
Absolutely, and if you walked out of Infinity War just saying, "Oh my God, this is the complete opposite," you're going to enjoy the heck out of it.
Awesome! Thank you very much, John. Check out makingstarwars.net. John Bishop, the great John Bishop. We'll talk to you again, hopefully, very, very soon.
Yep.
And check out makingstarwars.net. Thanks a lot, John. We'll talk to you, buddy.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks, everybody.
All right, man. Bye, bye. There he goes, John Bishop, right there.
Nice.
That was a great interview with him. I'm excited for this movie. I really do want to see this Solo, a Star Wars Story. But that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Check out makingstarwars.net for more stuff and more reviews on Solo, a Star Wars Story.